Innocent young children look up to dad and mom like the king and queen of the household. Parents are granted the respect they deserve. And in the next stage, preteens and teens seek out their parents for advice, direction, and affirmation, even as the obvious signs of independence begin to appear. Well, today on Insight for Living, and again next week, Chuck Swindoll addresses the next stage of life, when our children become adults and leave home. In this phase, our role as parents changes dramatically. Chuck Swindoll offers biblical suggestions for parenting grown-up kids. And we begin with prayer.
We all realize, our Father, that we have been eminently blessed. Many of us with great and godly parents, and how thankful we are for their hand on our shoulders, for their face in our faces, for their arms around us, for their loving and essential reproofs, for their wise counsel and their warnings. We thank you as well as we grew up that we have all had teachers who have known us by name, who have loved us, and who have taught us, not simply the subject from the classroom, but by their own lives, the importance of character, the value of growing up, becoming a mature and responsible adult. And so for those today who teach, we pray. We thank you especially for Jesus, our Master and Lord. We do run to Christ when plagued by sin or haunted by shame. We run to him in the deep needs of our lives. And we acknowledge in doing so we cannot make it on our own. This is a desperate and desolate age in which we live. And while there are those who do live a life worth following, there are many who do not. And we pray that as a result of our influence and the honesty of our character, the integrity of our hearts, they will be drawn to Christ. May the truth that we uncover from these verses out of Ephesians take flight and make their way deep within our lives and ultimately through our lips and touching the lives of others. We realize that so much of what we do has a price connected to it. We could not carry out a ministry without financial assistance. And thank you for faithful men and women who sit in this room today, who realize that God owns it all. You are the giver of every good and perfect gift, including the money we have in our possession, in our bank accounts, in our investments. In the name of Christ, we give these gifts. And we offer up this prayer. And everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his newly formatted Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message titled, Suggestions for Parenting Grown-Up Kids.
I would like to begin with what I've called some relational essentials that don't change. Relational essentials that are always true, okay? Number one, no challenge in any family is impossible. I know some of you face the unbearable. You are living with what may feel like an impossible situation, but I have words of hope for you. With God, nothing will be impossible. Here's the second. No child of any age is in authority over his parents. No child of any age is in authority over his parents or her parents. They are to be honored and respected, not because they are perfect, not because they haven't made some terrible mistakes, but because they are simply mom and dad. Here's the third. No person in the family is independent of other family members. No person in the family is independent of the other family members. We're all interrelated. The family is a unit like teeth in gears that work together. Number four, very important. No issue should be dealt with in the flesh. No issue, no problem in your family should be dealt with in the power of the flesh. This is called carnality. If you are reactionary, you're going to make a mess of your family relationships. So, with those four essentials in place, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, 25 to 32. Let's draw from these verses six two-word principles that apply to all who are in the process of rearing now grown kids. Number one, from verse 25, speak truth. That's right from the scriptures. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor. Let's use the word family member. With his or her family member. In other words, when you are dealing with your grown-up adult in the family, you're to talk straight. You're to tell the young adult the truth. The wisdom of years provides you with the right to speak. And again, doing so at the right time and in the right way. But how beneficial is a weekend spent with a single adult growing up in order to talk about their choice of spouse? God will speak to you. They may not agree. They may ignore it. That's their consequence to deal with. That's their right. You have a responsibility to speak the truth. The truth. Now look at the next verse. Be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. How unusual those words are. See the words be angry? It's a command. Get mad. How about that? But that's not my principle. Wait a minute before you write that down. My principle is be passionate. Be passionate. And you might put in parenthesis, don't be passive. Don't be passive. Admittedly, we rarely handle our anger correctly. Often it's a temper blow up. Sometimes it's filled with curse words or ugly, caustic comments. How inappropriate. If I may switch gears for a moment, I can illustrate it with a recent experience. With the whole 9/11 date that rolled around again this September, I remembered, and I was once again enraged at what happened. In the middle of my thoughts, I received in an email a page from a friend of mine who is a 3-star general in the Air Force, retired. A man, Cynthia and I deeply respect, who is on our board at Insight for Living. He sent this piece to me, written by David French. I don't know David, but I appreciate what David writes. Must be a friend of our board member friend. Listen, Every year on the eve of 9/11, my wife and I show our older kids pictures from the day. And every year I feel a fresh sense of rage at the attack. I've said this before, but if there is one lesson I learned during my own deployment, it's that our enemy is far more evil than most Americans imagine. Their evil should trigger rage, a controlled rage, and it certainly does for our soldiers downrange. A morally depraved country attacked like we were on 9/11 would lash out wildly and indiscriminately, annihilating its enemies and anyone in their proximity. A morally weak country would shrink back, timidly complying with terrorist demands. But our nation has largely responded in the right way, with a righteous anger that has in part sustained us through these years of continual conflict. Every September 11, I'm proud of my country. I'm proud of the men and women who sacrificed themselves on Flight 93, our first counterattack in the war on terror. I'm proud that the entire day of September 11, 2001, was marked and characterized by profound examples of American heroism, compassion, and decency. On this 11th anniversary, when he writes this piece, take a moment to view once again the images, not just of that terrible day, but also of the war that has followed. And when you do, remember you have a right to be angry, and that anger should renew your resolve. We had a missionary speaker during my years in Dallas Seminary as a student. I forget his message that day, but I will never forget four words he left with us. Never forget these words. Passivity is an enemy. Don't forget that. Verses 26 and 27 are urging us not to remain neutral about whatever happens. As your children grow up, be careful about what you shrug your shoulders to. Be passionate about the things you really believe in, things that deserve appropriate and righteous indignation. Don't hide that. They need to witness that. You become a passive parent, you are the problem in the home. And homes today are filled with passive parents who sort of yawn their way through the kids' growing up years. How wrong that is. Children need to know that their parents feel passionate about things. And again, hear the whole message. It is not an out-of-control rage. It isn't a temper tantrum. In fact, if you look closely, you'll notice being angry is a command. But it says, don't let it get out of control and don't go to bed on it. But get passionate about what's important. This is important to us as a family. We will not operate like this. You will not get away with that sort of attitude or actions. Be passionate. Be passionate. There's a third. Verse 28. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who is in need. So here it is. Stop stealing. Boy, the list is getting really great, isn't it? I mean, we started off rather mild, speak the truth, and then we talk about getting passionate. Now I'm telling you not to steal. It may seem an inappropriate statement to make to parents who have adult children. It isn't. It isn't. How can we steal from our children? We can steal their freedom. We can steal the freedom of our adult children to decide things on their own. We can so control them that they haven't learned how to make wise or responsible decisions because we've stolen from them out of our intense control of their lives. Every wise parent fosters the idea of independent thinking. A person doesn't just suddenly, when he turns 21 or she turns 21, become a responsible adult. They've learned along the way responsibility. We steal from our growing up kids if we continue doing for them what they need to start doing for themselves. I am right now finishing a wonderful book. I love the title, Tough Guys and Drama Queens. Isn't that a great title? How Not to Get Blindsided by Your Child's Teen Years. Mark Gregston ministers at a camp for children, for teenagers who have lost control of their lives, and he helps them find their way back. The man knows what he's talking about. Listen to his words regarding this matter of independence. One day your precious daughter will walk out your door and life will never be the same, as she is no longer under your rule. Or it may be a son who leaves home and heads to college, the military, or new job, and you know his boyhood days are over. At that moment, it won't matter whether his room is clean, the condition of her bathroom, whether he came in by the curfew, or what music he or she is listening to now. It won't matter if they watched too much television or played too many video games or made some mistakes along the way, or whether he or she didn't study as much as they should have. What will matter is whether your child is still dependent on you to make it in life, whether your relationship with her has helped her develop the skills she needs to stand firm against what she will encounter in the next chapter of her life. Listen to me, parents. This is all important. You prepare them along the way. In fact, Gregston goes on to give some examples. Here are some things you can require from your children when they turn 13. Listen to the list. Getting themselves out of bed with an alarm clock. Picking up their own clothing every morning. Getting ready for school and eating breakfast. Getting to school on time. Doing their own laundry. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Cleaning their own rooms, even if you have a housekeeper. Doing their homework without your having to nag them to do it. Making their own snacks after school. When they're 13, they ought to be on their way with this. Are you helping make that happen? No wonder when they leave the home, their clothes are left all over their house. No wonder their bathroom looks a mess. No wonder they're irresponsible as citizens. No wonder they get so many tickets when they drive. They learned about it by your covering for them at every point. He goes further. As children get older, I encourage you to give them more things to do, more decisions to make, more opportunities for them to have to figure out what to do, more opportunity to assume responsibility for their lives. Here are some other training focus points you might want to consider. Now, this is the next level. Handling finances, making good decisions, breaking the mindset of entitlement, keeping relationships when there's conflict, handling stress and resolving disagreements, not always having to be right, what to do when you're wrong, treating a friend with kindness, finding the right spouse, the value of a good day's work, standing for what you believe, essentials of a disciplined life, integrity and keeping your word, finding the job that fits your skill set, making money and living within your means, changing a tire on a car, and how to ask for help. Very insightful list, and I think it might strike a note of concern in some hearts of you who listen today. Were you prepared for life like that? I'll tell you another way we steal from our kids. We steal by not letting them suffer the consequences for wrong. I mean, they did wrong. There's a price to pay. I mentioned getting a ticket. You drive too fast, you get a ticket. Mom and daddy don't pay the ticket. You break the law, you wind up behind bars. Mom and dad don't bail you out. I like the way one guy wrote it. You do the crime, you do the time. All right. We're so quick to take away the pain of it all. Oh, wait. It's in the pain we learn life's best lessons. We learn them the hard way. One of my favorite questions that I often ask in a group, just getting acquainted with each other, what are some lessons you learned the hard way? What are they? You know why you learned them? Because your parents weren't there to take care of whatever was the problem. You steal from your children if you steal from them the pain of consequences. Privileges are provided, they're not demanded. And every privilege is conditional, depending on the boundaries parents set. So stop stealing from your children. Here's number 4. We're down to verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so it will give grace to those who hear. Ready for the next one? Stop yelling. Families that yell at each other are no longer in harmony with each other, and they're no longer growing together. They're growing apart. Yelling doesn't make the kid hear what we have to say. Anytime you find it necessary to scream or yell at an adult child, you've lost control. You're in lockdown. They're not learning. Unwholesome words include cursing, threatening, sarcastic put-downs, caustic comments that cause your adult kid to disrespect you. Parents who yell encourage kids to rebel. Before long, there is such disrespect that you realize you really have lost control. So look closely at this. Let no unwholesome word, the word means putrid. It is used for rotting vegetables or meat. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. That's the negative. But only such a word as is good for building them up. Yelling does not make it right.
Practical counsel coming from the Word of God. Chuck Swindoll titled today's message, Suggestions for Parenting Grown-Up Kids. To request a copy of this message, you can go online to insightworld.org. While there's much more to hear in today's presentation, let me remind you that Insight for Living has prepared the complete collection of 12 studies in this classic series. It's called Biblical Parenting. And when you purchase the complete set, you'll also receive a bonus CD featuring a personal conversation with Chuck. Every family should have this resource on hand, addressing every stage of rearing children, from infancy to adulthood. So call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. And then I'd like to draw your attention to the helpful study notes called Searching the Scriptures. We've significantly upgraded this free resource for you, and I'd encourage you to take advantage. Print out the PDF to use this to guide your personal quiet times, or it's perfectly suited for your small group Bible study as well. To access the Searching the Scriptures guide for Chuck's daily teaching, go to insightworld.org/studies. Chuck?
Thanks, Dave. Those who work in the realm of financial investments understand the acronym ROI. It means Return on Investment. Well, today I'm inviting you to make an investment that promises an impressive return on investment. In fact, it yields eternal rewards. You see, when you become a monthly companion, God will use your gifts to produce fruit in all those who hear the truth of God's word. Through his prophet Isaiah, God wrote this: "The rain and snow come down from the heavens
and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Today we're inviting you to become a monthly giver to Insight for Living Ministries by enrolling as a monthly companion. As you take this step, we're confident God will use your gift, no matter its size, to produce fruit in His people for His glory. The process for signing up is quick and simple, but the return on your investment is immeasurable as well as eternal. Thanks for responding today.
And here's how to become a monthly companion. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. With your first donation as a new monthly companion, or when you give a special one-time gift, we'll say thanks by providing a unique collection of three CDs called A Living Hope. The first two CDs contain messages from Chuck, and the third CD includes an inspirational concert performed by the Stonebriar Community Church Sanctuary Choir and Orchestra. It includes the music you're hearing in the background right now, a classic favorite called Lead On, O King Eternal. To give a one-time donation and request the CD collection, A Living Hope, give us a phone call. If you're listening in the United States, the number is 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Join us Monday when Chuck Swindoll concludes his message, Suggestions for Parenting Grown-Up Kids, here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Suggestions for Parenting Grown-Up Kids, was copyrighted in 2012, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.